Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have 3 married sons, 9 grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Today I'm sitting down with the incredibly talented Christy Starling, singer, songwriter, wife, mom, and worship pastor. We're talking about her journey in music and her faith and family, plus the lessons learned along the way. This conversation is real, it's inspiring, and full of wisdom. You're going to love it. Stay tuned. Well, welcome to Christy Starling, who's joining me today on Table Talks. Honestly and truly, I've been so excited about this. I asked her a couple months ago to join me and your schedule and our schedule and timing. But honestly, this is a thrill for me to have you on this podcast. I love you and your family, your church. It's just awesome. So I guess I've known of you for over 20 years, but I really got to know you in the last few years because you and your husband are friends with my son, Dustin, and his wife, Mandy. So let's catch everybody up that may not know exactly, how famous you are. Now, listen, you're a big deal. Okay. I said that, you're a big deal, and I need people to know you're a big deal. So I know you won't toot your own horn, but would you just tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing now, your family, church? And welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be on here. I have watched so many of your podcasts and just have enjoyed your ministry. And then everybody that you've had on has just spoken so much beautiful, so many nuggets to me. So I'm grateful to be on here. I hope that, I have something to say that can help somebody. Yeah. We just celebrated 12 years as a church this past Sunday. So it was just a beautiful celebration of, kind of watching what God's done, but then also kind of dreaming ahead of what he's going to continue to do. And so we're in another season of growth, and it's really beautiful, but it's also, it can be difficult because it's, when you have to turn people away from services that they're attending because you don't have any more seats, that's a beautiful, I know it's a problem, but it's a beautiful problem. And so just kind of navigating some of those things right now. And, just like our building is as big as it's going to get until we do another building project. And so we're dreaming that direction and just asking the Lord for lots of wisdom and understanding on that. So, but it's good. Everything's great.
In Norman, Oklahoma. I got to go there this past fall, which was crazy. And so for people listening, Christy and her family, because they're in Norman, Oklahoma. That's where University of Oklahoma is. They're big OU fans, and me, huge Alabama fan. And then Alabama lost to Oklahoma in this year, and I can't live through that again. We had our bathroom remodeled during that time, and the contractor is an OU fan, and he did not let it go. You guys were coming. He did not let it go, and I didn't speak to him for days. I'm like, you can't mess with my Roll Tide. You can't mess with the Dallas Cowboys, but you can't mess with my Alabama.
Right?
He did. He crossed the line. If you ever listen to this, his wife
will. Most OU fans will cross.
And you have, so your husband's Adam, and he's just an amazing person. And you have 2 children.
Yes, Beckham and London. Beckham is 15 and a half. And he's actually been to your church. That is one of his favorite trips was getting to be with you guys and hearing Mandy sing. He was like, Mom, you need to have her come sing here. I was like, she came and preached. Like, she needs to come sing too.
He is amazing.
But he's precious. He's 15 years old, on the cusp of driving, and it scares the life out of me. It's just like a whole nother level of trust in the Lord, but London, she is 13, and she is all of 13 going on 21. So, but I love it. They're both. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. But I was going to ask, you said y'all been there 12 years. And so what did you guys do before that? So back up a little bit and tell me, how long have y'all been married and what did you do before you were pastors? Because there was life before that.
So Adam and I actually went to Southwestern in Waxahachie, and I think it's called, I can't remember. It's named something new.
It was Southwestern Assemblies of God University, what I went to.
Back in the day, yeah.
It's named after the man that founded something. Yay.
Good for him.
Big impression on it. Thank you for listening.
But we basically, we were both going to school there, and we had known each other since junior high, and but we got reconnected in college and got married. And honestly, we got married my senior year, his junior year. And that's when I went on the Today Show, and it was like kind of like things turned upside down. We got married in 2002, and then 2 or 3 months later was when I went on the Today Show, and just life got turned upside down. So, you know, in the beginning of our marriage, I was traveling quite a bit, and he was kind of on the road with me some. And then there came a time where he couldn't go on the road with me, but he was just itching to really get into ministry, because that's all he had ever known and dreamed about, was just being in full-time ministry. And so we ended up we went to church at People's Church. They had just started in Oklahoma City, Pastor Herbert and Tiffany Cooper. And they were a brand new church. They were still setting up in the movie theater close by. And so when I wasn't traveling, we would attend their church. And Adam was home all the time because he couldn't travel much with me. And so he basically asked Herbert, like, I know you don't have a youth pastor. I know you don't have money to hire a youth pastor, but will you let me just lead your teenagers? And Herbert's like, yes, please. And so they would, you know, Adam would just kind of love on the teenagers there and do what he could to kind of help, you know, with the small group that they had. And ended up, I started traveling more and more, and then he got to travel with me again. And so it was just too much for both of us to be apart so much. So he started traveling again. And then we went on staff at the church that I had grown up at for just a little bit to become youth pastors there. It was a really sweet time because we were able to kind of do ministry together for the first time. And then we moved to another church, and that was kind of where we got a lot of our development as just pastors and learning leadership and learning, you know, what ministry actually really looks like on the ground level, you know, because you go to school and you learn all these ways to do ministry and by the book, and you're like, this isn't actually ministry. Like, you can learn a lot through books, but so much of it is just hands-on learning life with people and doing life with people. And so that was a really cool experience for us. And then kind of at the latter half of our time at our last church, the Lord was just moving on us both that kind of season was done, but we didn't know. Adam's like, I want to be a senior pastor. Like, I want to pastor people. Like, I want it to be like from the depths of my heart, like just everything that I've ever dreamed of. And the Lord like put a halt on that. It's a really cool story to hear that, but the Lord was like, no, you're not ready. And he said, what do you mean I'm not ready? He's like, I remember it clear as day on the front row of, you know, our church and that we were at. And he was an executive pastor then. And the Lord was like, you're not ready. And so that kind of started a journey for us, like over the next probably year or so of us really just saying, okay, what does this look like? And finally, the Lord moved us into a situation where we were like, okay, this is it. And so we took over one of the campuses that we had at the church, the last church we were at. It was a campus that was not doing well, and they were going to have to shut the doors. And Adam went to our pastor at the time and just said, listen, I have a heart for this city. Adam had always been called to Norman since he was a little boy. He just always had a draw to the city for some reason. And he was like, I don't think it was because of OU. You know, I grew up loving OU, but the university. But he said, I just have always had a special place in my heart. And so it was so interesting how the Lord drew us here. And through a long series of things, you know, we got to step into that and take over this campus and kind of became autonomous and then eventually changed the name of the church, and we're able to kind of move forward with our own vision. And it was just a really beautiful, really hard season because we had, honestly, our pastor had gone through some struggles, and there was a significant moral failure that was very public, and we had to kind of help walk our church through it. And as well as trying to plant this campus and relaunch it and cast vision. And so it was a really hard time, but the Lord was with us the whole time. And we saw his provision and his faithfulness and his wisdom and his everything come through. And so now, 12 years later, we're just getting to see the same thing over and over. Just God's goodness to us.
Your campus is so beautiful.
Thank you.
People that haven't been, it looks like a Great Wolf Lodge. I mean, the pine in Norman, Oklahoma, I'm like, where should I get these trees? It looks like Oklahoma. You drive up on this campus that's just stunning, and the best staff and best people. And what do you feel like in this 12 years, just this 12 years, what do you feel like is the most rewarding part? Because you guys reach so many people. I mean, everything I've seen and been a part of is just so healthy. But what do you think's been the most rewarding for you and then maybe you guys?
I would say, so I don't know. I think there's so many rewarding things. It's hard to kind of, pin one, but I think just in general, the overall, something that wakes me up in the morning is being able to watch like this spiritual light bulb go off in people's hearts and minds and to realize, oh, wow, there is a real true God that really, truly cares about me. And when I acknowledge that for myself, then everything inside of me wants to let everybody around me know about that. And I think getting to watch people who are far from Christ come to know him, and then those who know him be discipled and grow in him, and then just to watch that cycle happen over and over and over, and to watch the trajectory of people's lives and their families and their future families, like everything's different. And you can see the path that they were going, and then now you see this other path, and it's like, God, you're so good. Like, I think that is what wakes me up every day. Now, ministry is hard. Like, firsthand, ministry is not easy. And there are days I want to quit. I mean, like legit last week, I was like, I'm done. You just deal with a lot, but it's so rewarding, and everything about it. Adam always encourages our staff, keep the why at the forefront of your mind. Like, why do you do this? It's not tasks. It's not just relationships. This is like the kingdom. This is God's kingdom that's being built. And everything that we do, every action we take, everything that comes out of our mouth, every sacrifice we make, everything is worth it. And I think just really seeing that light bulb go off in people's hearts and minds on a daily basis is what helps me go, okay, no, it is worth it. Buckle down. Here we go. This is not easy. God never promised it would be easy. He just promised he would be with us. So I have to just kind of look to the side and say, okay, you're here. I got this because you got me. And I'm not going to be perfect, and I'm not going to be put together. I'm the least put together human on the planet. But I just say, Lord, you'll take my pieces and you'll make something of it, And I've seen him do that.
I love it. And I sense that so much. And so you alluded to the fact that you traveled some and you sang. So I said in the beginning that for me, you're famous. I knew you by watching you on television.
I'm so not famous, Kay.
On television, on the Today Show. That's how I first met you. And I feel like what happened is that our son Dustin was also going to Southwestern, and this girl is on the Today Show. She used to go to school here. So since I went to school there in the early 80s, it was all just intriguing to me. But before I talk about the Today Show, I mean, did you know that you could sing even when you were a little girl? Like, when did you know that? And I know you don't like to, it's hard for you to say how good you are, because y'all, she is good. I mean, like jaw dropping good. But you minister too. I would say, for me, you're not just a singer, you're a great communicator through music, and you really reach people and touch people through it. But when did you know you could sing like better than the average person?
I honestly, I'm still kind of trying to figure that out. No, legitimately, I think as a kid, like music just, it was like the language I understood. I'm not trying to be like, false, humble, like humility right now. I genuinely just feel like I didn't have anything to offer the Lord accept my heart to like sing to him. Does that make sense? And so I think as a kid, it was the only language I knew to really connect with the Lord, because I wouldn't say I'm not a super like brilliant person. Like, I'm not going to be the leadership mind that you're like bringing in to have, you know, listen to at a conference. Like, I'm not a pastor. I am a pastor, but I'm not going to preach the word like you or like Mandy or like, you know, Dustin or my husband. Like, I just genuinely love Jesus so much. And music seems to be the way that I can communicate that. And it seems to have always been the way that I can show the Lord that I love him, because I'm not great with words. I'm not a natural speaker. I'm not going to say the most eloquent thing and it just minister to everyone in the room. But I do have just a genuine like language of the heart that comes out in music that I feel like maybe the Lord's the only one that understands it or appreciates it. But I do feel like when I am able to do that in front of people, I feel like there's something that the Lord has gifted me with to be able to help them understand they have that too. It makes me emotional. I'm trying not to cry because I don't want to cry on a podcast, but I think if I was created for anything, it was to help bring people into the presence of God and to understand that he is so real and tangible and that they can access him the same way that I have. Because when you taste and see that he is good, you taste and see that he is good. And you don't want it for yourself. You want it for everyone around you. And I think, you know, somebody recently asked me, what do you feel like you're created for? And I feel like I was created to help people realize they can access the presence of God just by simply worshiping him. And I happen to worship him through music and through singing. But there's a bazillion ways we can worship him, you know. But mine happens to be in the avenue of worship.
It really is. And I've been, you know, alluding to, but in the early 2000s, I guess 2002 or 2003, you mentioned right after you got married, there was a show before all, there was The Voice and all these, so many talent search shows. NBC Today Show had a talent search show called Today Superstar. Yeah. And I don't know how you ever got picked to be in the, all of a sudden, Dustin's telling me to go on and watch you and start voting. And you were on every week for a long time. And you were just so darling. I mean, I can't even.
You're so sweet.
I was just like, oh my gosh. And then, I mean, how did you ever get on the show? Like, how'd they pick you?
Well, so what's funny is I was actually going to Southwestern at the time. And my husband and I had just gotten married. We lived in this little hood apartment. Like, it was like I had foil on the wall, on the windows to cover my windows because I couldn't afford window treatment. There was ants crawling all through my bathroom. Like, it was just we were just loving life as a newly married couple. We didn't care if we had anything. But we were just kind of like, okay, going to school, doing our thing. And I get a call from several different people in my life saying, hey, the Today Show's doing this superstar contest. It was basically simultaneous with the very first season of American Idol. So it was kind of like the thing to do. And so the Today Show kind of adopted it and said, let's do it too. And so they were like, send in your video. If you want to be a part of the show, send in your video of yourself singing. Go to our website, do all these things. And so I was like, I'm not doing that. I was like, this is so silly. But then my mom called me and my mother-in-law called me and a friend of my mom's called me and they're like, you got to do this, because they all watch the Today Show. And I was like, I'm not doing this. And I argued and argued and argued. Finally, I had told one of my friends at school, I was like, my family wants me to do this. I don't know if I should or not. She was like, yes, let's do it. She goes, I'll come over and record you on my video camera and we'll send it, you know. And I was like, this is absolutely absurd. So she comes over and I'm like, I guess we'll just do this. And I said, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? I don't make it. Okay, fine. I don't think I'm going to make it anyway. So she comes over, we do the thing, we send off the video, and I sent it off with literally hours to the deadline.
What'd you sing?
So they had a list that you had to choose from, and it was all a cappella because like we couldn't sing the tracks or anything. So I had to choose from, I sang Hero by Mariah Carey.
Can you give
Old
us just a couple
school.
of lines? Do it, do
Oh my
it.
gosh, no, I'm not.
Do it, do it.
Not a chance. Sorry, my nose is still running from crying.
That's why I grabbed a tissue, because I cry every time.
Listen, I'm the worst. But I sang Hero by Mariah Carey, and then everyone had to do like their own rendition of the national anthem. And so like I chose from a list of songs, and then the national anthem was the second song we all had to do. So I did those, sent it off, and okay, funny story. I sent it, and I guess the postage was not enough to actually pay for the postage, like fully. I thought it was, and they sent it through. But somehow, when the Today Show got my package, they got it on the deadline, and they had to finish paying my postage. And so, like, I didn't know that until I made the show. But so I get like live on air, and they're like, "Why did we have to pay your postage, Christy?" I was like, "Really calling me out in front of the whole
America
nation here? This is embarrassing." But yeah, so they got my thing, my video. They went through all the videos, narrowed it down to 25. And then they called all 25 people and said, "Hey, you made the top 25. And I was like, "Oh, that's so cool." Like, and I thought, okay, that's the last time I'm going to hear from them. And then they said, "Hey, we're narrowing it down to 10 people, the top 10. And then we will basically surprise the top six of those 10 at their homes. So no, the top 10 will know that they made it, but then only six of you will actually move on." So I'm like, okay, great. You know, I'm thinking, okay, again, that's the end. So they, you know, of course, there's so much on air, like, you know, promos and all the things. And so I'm watching like a hawk, and I see the first day. So they basically told me, "Hey, be up and ready at 5 a.m., ready to go in case, you know, we show up at your front door." And I'm like, this is insane. But I was like, okay, because I'm going to school. I'm working 20 hours, going to school 20 hours. I was like, I have no time for this. And I'm a newlywed, you know?
And you've got tinfoil in your windows.
Yes, and I've got tinfoil in my windows and ants crawling across my dinner table. Like, this is not attractive. And so it's a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I remember so vividly. Monday, I'm like sitting in front of my TV watching, and they show up to these people's houses, you know, all across the nation. And I'm like, this is so cool. You know, first day, not chosen. Second day, not chosen. That's two of the, you know, that's two and four of the six. And I'm like, okay, Wednesday's the last day. It's like today or nothing. And so I wake up Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. I'm ready at 5 a.m. And I have my TV on, and I look out my window, and I see this humongous satellite. And so like Dallas Local News, because I was in Waxahachie, Dallas Local News is sitting outside of my door. And I'm like, oh, I'm like freaking out. Like, and so I go tell Adam, I was like, because he was like, "Don't wake me up unless they're here." And isn't that a great man? So he was like, "Oh my gosh, they're here." So we get up and we get ready. And then I'm watching the television show on my TV, and they knock on my door, and I'm like, and so I answer the door, and they're like, "Congratulations." And so they go through all the things. I'm live on air with Matt and Katie, Matt Lauer and Katie Couric, and Ann Curry. And so like I'm talking to them, and it just was like crazy. So then I had to fly out that night. I was on the show for 8 weeks straight, every Monday and Thursday. And yeah, I mean, you caught those shows, correct?
Oh, I watched every one. And I voted, and I got my friends here to vote. Yeah. The quick ending to this is you were number two. And I tell everybody, it's not my fault, because I voted.
I voted.
You should have been number one. You were the best one in that group of singers. And I think the thing that was so impressive to me, that your testimony and witness, everybody knew you were a Christian. They knew what you stood for. You just shined bright enough for me to never forget. So that when years later, like almost 20, when Dustin Sears, I don't even know where he ran into Adam, like 5 years ago or six or whatever. And he said, "You'll never guess who, you know, I know now, Adam Starling." And remember Christy that was on Today, Superstar? He said, like, "We're friends." And it's her. And then recently we were digging through, like, because my husband was on the alumni board of that university for years. And then we always got their little magazine called Southwestern Today. And I like after I spoke at your church in the fall and I found this magazine. If people are watching, they can see. If they're listening, they won't know. And here's baby Christy, young 20 years ago. She's young still. But it says, when dreams come true, Christy Starling on dreaming big and going for it. And I never forgot you. And that's it's just crazy. So like, and to see you in the role you are now, I've watched you. You led worship at our church in Albuquerque, and I've watched you.
Yes. Oh, your gift so is great.
Much more than that. But you got a recording contract from that show. And with who? Because that was crazy, too.
So Warner Brothers was the company that was, I mean, the label that was kind of hosting and being like the sidekick of the show, like, hey, we'll give them a demo to the person that wins. So they gave the guy that won a demo, but they didn't owe me anything being second place. But David Foster, who was kind of the executive producer of that portion of the show and kind of the spokesperson for the label, called me and just said, hey, I want to do a demo for you. And I was like, what?
Hey friends, I'm so glad you're here. If you're enjoying this episode, please take a second to subscribe, leave a quick review, and share it with a friend. It's the best way to help more people find the podcast and be encouraged. Thanks for listening, and now back to the episode.
You want to do a demo for me? And so of course I took him up on that, and then the Warner Brothers, knowing that I was a Christian and I wanted to do Christian music, and I made that very clear. That's just the only thing I felt like I could genuinely represent well. And so I was just very clear with David Foster. I just said, I want to do Christian music. And so he called the Christian division of Warner Brothers and basically said, like, let's get this girl going. And I signed my contract within weeks. I made my record within 26 days. It's like a record for their label, record time. And it was just nuts. And so God was so faithful and so good to really just give me some cool experiences and learn my gift and learn people and learn the process. And it's benefited me even now, where we just came out with our first record as a church is coming out in March. And it's just really special to watch the Lord just, put things together and make it all work. Every single season of my life, I see his hand doing things that I'm like, what in the world? And then now I look back and go, he had this in mind. He had this in mind. I went through this because of this. I went through this because of this. I learned this here because of this. And so it's just neat to watch all of it come together, you know.
Which, I mean, really, the last, you know, we have a little bit left, but I want to talk about, because you obviously have been a Christian. You've loved the Lord since you were young. But you've, you know, life has not all just been perfect either. It sounds, you know, I just know because you are in ministry that there's like not much perfection. It's a lot of trial and valleys, but mountaintops too. But you have gone through, I mean, we could all write a book on what we've gone through in our life, but the last few years, so what you do is use your voice. Mm-hmm. That is what you do. It's what you've always done. It's what you do in your church and Victory Family Church. You're the worship pastor. You lead every week, your passion. And so you got sick a few years ago and, you know, I think thought you were well, but you really struggle with your voice. I mean, I know that it's been a burden you've carried. So to say faith has brought you through and your faith has been built is an understatement, because you really had to walk a faith journey of your own the last few years.
Yeah. Ben. When obviously COVID was a big thing in 2020, and at the last part of 2020, Adam and I both got COVID, and just super long story short, my mom almost passed away. She was in the hospital for, I think, around 2 months, through the Christmas holiday, through my dad's birthday, through all kinds of stuff. Adam almost passed away. I mean, like, they basically told Adam, if you get any worse, you won't make it. And then I had double pneumonia. About a week into me having COVID, you know, they said 7 through 14, day 7 through 14 is the worst. And so day 7, I'm thinking, this is insane. I don't know how it could get worse. But about halfway through, I lost my voice completely from coughing. And I thought, okay, I just have laryngitis. It's, you know, I've been coughing so bad. Weeks go by and my voice never came back. I got well as far as like the COVID virus was gone, but my body was just stricken with all kinds of crazy stuff. It's neurological, so it had attacked so many areas of my body, and it attacked my vocal cords. And long story short, I had vocal paralysis for 10 months. During all of that, of trying to figure out COVID and being pastors during COVID and not being able to meet together and all the things. So it was a really, really difficult season, but long story short, the Lord healed my body. And after around 10 months, my voice was being restored. And to this day, I still have some paralysis, which has caused some vocal issues and some things like that. But I have seen the Lord restore everything that I lost. And I don't think he's done. I know he's not done, because it's not, you know, the word restore means to be brought back to not just your former glory, but like better than it was. And so I trust that. Now, I know this could get tricky, but I'm not saying my voice will be as good as it was before, or my voice will be better than it was before. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying the Lord will do his restoration and he will finish his work, period, no matter what it looks like into the earthly eye. Does that make sense? So I've grown, I have matured in the Lord in a way that I would have never possibly matured had I not had to go through struggle, had I not had to really draw close and realize that the end goal, the gift, the treasure that I've always been seeking is actually the presence of God, not just the gift, or not just the, hey, Lord, bring back my voice, heal me here, do this, do that. That's not the gift. The gift is the very presence of God that walks with us through the storm or on the mountaintop. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I think that that to grow your faith, there had to be times during that 10 months, mm-hmm. that even when you're, you know, you're groping for faith, that you had to think it may not.
Yeah.
Do you ever think my voice isn't going to come back?
Oh, a lot. But I wouldn't, I will be honest. I feel like I just felt a supernatural presence of God that grew my faith in a way that I don't think it wasn't me. Like it's so hard to explain, because I've never had that much faith in my life, but I'm finding myself in the highest faith I've ever had in my entire life in the lowest moment that I've ever had in my entire life. And I think when you lean into struggle and when you lean into the tough seasons, like the Lord is so faithful to meet you there and say, hey, I know you can't do it. You don't have enough to do it. Like, you don't have enough faith in you. You couldn't muster up enough faith to get yourself through this. That's why I have to do that for you. You know, it's like, he's so kind. He's that gentle shepherd that is just like this dumb little sheep. Like, she has no clue, but I'm going to help her, you know, and I'm going to guide her, and I'm going to bring care, and I'm going to bring concern, and I'm going to bring healing, and I'm going to do it all while standing right beside her as she struggles. And so leaning into that struggle and leaning into that season of, I am so grateful for the season. I am thankful that I struggled. Had I not struggled, I wouldn't have the depth of the relationship that I have with the Lord. It forced me into deep, deep, deep places with God that I would have never gone. I would love to say, yes, I would have gone there had I not gone through the struggle, but I don't think I would have. Because when we're desperate for something, we're willing to do whatever it takes. And I was desperate to be healed. That's how it started. I was desperate to be healed. But what it grew into was, I was desperate for the presence of God. And then the healing came because the presence of God is healing. And so I just realized, like, the gift is actual presence of God. Like, it's not me being healed and getting to sing again. If I never sing again, I have the presence of God. If I don't get to ever lead worship again, which would be devastating to me, I have the presence of God, so I have everything I need. And I've been studying the 23rd Psalm so much, and just like literally line by line. And the second line is, I have all I need, or I lack nothing. And that doesn't necessarily mean I have all that I need, like what is material goods or whatever it looks like, or even needs being met like food and water and whatever. It genuinely means the care and concern of a father, of a shepherd that knows you so well, that goes before you, that cares about every detail, that's guiding you, that won't ever leave your side, that will literally force you sometimes into seasons of rest that you don't know you need, just to bring you the best care possible. Does that make sense?
Oh,
I don't know. I keep saying, does that make sense?
You're explaining it so well. And I know that I love music too. And I was not on a show, but I only worshiped for 20 years. But I have go-to songs when I'm going through highs or lows, but my happy songs. And sometimes I'm so sad, I can't listen to my sad time song. I have to go find my happy song. But
yeah,
there has to be something, a favorite song that you have, like, I just know that. What was your favorite song during the season? Like, as you've been getting your voice back and.
Yeah, I think, so there's two things. One song that during that season, I learned so much to thank God ahead of time, because if God made a promise and he's not a man that he should lie, then I can trust that his promise is true. So I don't speak from a place, I don't worship from a place of hope, which we do have hope, but I worship from a place of victory. I worship from a place of, it's already happened in the spirit. So Lord, just like manifested in my life now, like you've already healed me. You paid for it. I have the victory already. And so I think a song that I just continually went to, you froze on me. Are we good?
Yeah. You froze good? For a second. Too good enough that we can keep
okay,
going.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, you're great. So the song Gratitude, I think, it was just like the idea of, I'm going to throw up my hands, praise you again and again, because you're worthy of it. And, no matter what, anything, how it plays out, no matter what things look like. So that's one that I kind of kept me going. And still to this day, I can't sing it without just falling apart on stage, literally. But then there's also a song, this sounds really self-promotion, but I don't mean for it to. It genuinely just came from a place of, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's a song called Rivers that we wrote as a church. And I wrote it before I was sick, but I watched it flesh out while I was sick. And I watched the Lord kind of complete the understanding of it, of why he gave it to us. During my sickness, and I will bless the Lord at all times. His name, his praise will continually be in my mouth. And it talks in Isaiah about, you know, dry bones coming to life and like, you know, rivers bursting out of the wilderness. And I watched that in my own life. And so that's kind of been a song that I've, and then we also wrote a song called I Am Healed. And I wrote it when I was sick.
You sang that. I think you sang
yes,
that. And it was just, you were really going through it still. That was a couple of years ago. I mean, you were really struggling. Yeah. I know, wondering, is God, I mean, anytime, but you sang that. It was so beautiful. So beautiful. Is it on the album that's coming out?
It's on one that we put out just recently, or like a little EP thing. So it's out there, but
not on your long play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not on the, it's
I
on
mean, the it always blows my mind how fast 45 minutes goes by, but you've said so much that I know that I'm going to listen to over and over. I listen to my own podcast. I hope that doesn't sound narcissistic, but
no, it's great.
You have to. And I love, because I go back and listen again and again, and I challenge people to do that, because you can't get everything in one listen through, you know, to listen again, because you have said so much that can be used for all of us all the times. And because I know you and I know the person behind what you're saying, that I, that's why I wanted you to be on here so badly, because I felt like, you know, you've lived that and you've walked that walk. Just to kind of close it all up, because I could go on for a long time. What would you say to someone who, you know, has a dream that maybe they felt like they wanted to chase and they never did, or how to, your life has taken different directions, but what would you say to that person that has a dream they want to chase and maybe they've been afraid to do it, or that.
I think maybe this sounds really simple and it may be oversimplified, but I think God has just called us to be faithful. And I think there's a lot of dreams in my life, and I'm a very driven person. I'm a very goal-oriented person, as far as like, I like to accomplish things. I like to check things off the list, and I like to say, I did this and I did this. And I think for me, I think the Lord has just said like, hey, chill and let me do. And you just be faithful. Be faithful with where you're at, and I'll make you really, really much. Be faithful with what I put in your hands right now. Just be faithful this season. Don't self-promote. Don't try to get yourself in places that you shouldn't be. Don't try to. And I think we live in a culture where it's like, hey, we're a bunch of pick me's. You know, like, hey, pick me, pick me. Hey, you know, I want to be seen. I want to be known. I want to be heard. I have something to say. And I think we've just adopted this entitlement mentality that I deserve to be heard. I deserve to be seen. I deserve A, B, and C. And I think the Lord is just looking for people who be like, Lord, I just want to please you. I just want to obey you. I just want to be faithful with where I'm at. And I trust that my good Father, my good Shepherd, will lead me to the places that he wants me. Because I think a lot of times too, we have dreams and visions in our minds that are fleshly and that are selfish. And the Lord's like, hey, I've got something better for you. Like, I know this is good, but I've got great. You know, this is decent, but I've got something so supernatural that you can't even envision for yourself, you know? And so I think when we're faithful and when we just take that next step and that next step and be faithful today and then be faithful tomorrow and then be faithful the next day, like the Lord opens up things that he opens up doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors that no man can open. And we're just able to trust him because we see that happening in our lives, you know? So maybe that's oversimplified.
Well,
I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like you were speaking right to me too, because I look in every single podcast episode, what is it that I need to hear and I need to learn? And I'm challenged every time. Christy, would you mind just praying over people that are listening before we close up? And I just feel like you have a great word of faith, and that your voice is prophetic, and which means you speak life into people. And I'd like you to pray that over people that might be listening or watching.
Yeah, for sure. Whew, Jesus, you're so good to us. And Lord, we just love you. And we thank you, God, for your presence, that you're so real, you're so tangible, that you are the gift that our soul is longing for. Just your presence, God, you're the very essence of who you are. And so we thank you, God, that in your deity, Lord, you see us and you come to where we are and you meet us where we are. And Lord, you not only see us as your child, God, but you chose us to be in partnership with you, that we get to do ministry with you, that you called us to walk with you and help people and teach people and lead people, even in our brokenness, God, even in the middle of our sin, you died and you see us as cleansed and whole and healed because of the blood of Jesus. So Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we're all trying to operate in a spirit of obedience, in a spirit of faith and just trusting you, God, in every area of our lives, I just thank you, Lord, that as we walk in faithfulness and as we walk in obedience to your word, and as we walk in step with the Spirit, God, because we cannot move without your Spirit telling us what to do, where to go, how to do it. Lord, make us aware of what your Spirit is saying. Make us aware of what your Spirit is doing. Make us aware of the areas in our lives that we need correction, that we need help, that we need healing, that we need to forgive. Lord, there's so many spaces that you're constantly moving and working in our lives to purify us and to make us holy like you're holy, to make us set apart, to refine us, God. And sometimes refining is scary, but when we pray it, you do it. And I've seen it in my own life. God, purify us, cleanse us, keep us, and lead us and direct us and guide us, because you are the good shepherd. You do love us so well. And God, as we trust you with the next season of our life, with the next day of our life, with the next relationship, with the next job that we have, we can trust you. You're trustworthy. And we lean into that. We trust in that. And we thank you for that, Lord. We know that you finish what you start. We know that you chose us and that you choose us every day. And God, knowing those two things is really all that we need to know, that your presence is with us. And we just love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So beautiful. Honestly, so beautiful. Thank you. I never in my life, if someone would have told me that 20 years down the road from when I first started,
get out of here.
But we would even have a laptop computer and that we could,
right?
Like the Jetsons, we were going to be able to talk face to face like this. I would have said, no way. And that I would get to do this. So thank you for saying yes and blessing me and anybody that's going to listen to this podcast episode. They're going to be blessed and changed, I feel, forever. So thank you.
I'm forever
grateful that I know you and that I've had a chance to do ministry alongside you. And you're awesome. Thank you.
I know this is like something that you like dreamed about. And I know it was something you mentioned even when you were here that you kind of had trouble going, nobody wants to hear from me. But like, thank you for being obedient, because like, I know that in this season of your life, you could be like, hey, listen, I've put in my work, I've put in my time. But you like continue to walk in faithfulness and obedience to what the Lord is doing in you in this season. So thank you that you are teaching me things. I appreciate it.
Yay. I'm so glad. So glad today happened. Thank you. Thank you.
You too. Love you, Kay.
Love you.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kaywoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.